listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
From the South Stands to the end zone, you are Locked On Broncos. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of the show. Hope you guys had an amazing weekend all across Broncos country. Today is Monday, February 17th. We got a lot of action for you guys here on today's jam-packed episode of the show, which is brought to you by our good friends over there at Blue Chew. I'm your host of today's episode, Cody Rourke. I'm an NFL analyst. I'm a Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. I appear on Mile High Sports Radio. I also appear from time to time on KOA's Broncos Country Tonight with Benjamin Albright, Ryan Edwards. I was just on there this past Friday night. If you guys want to go check it out on Valentine's Day, go do it. We talked about a lot of interesting stuff, and we're going to carry some of that over here on today's episode of the show. Broncos head coach Vic Fangio made a decision when it came to his assistant coaches and the NFL scouting combine that is coming up here in the next week. We'll talk about that. Plus, we take a look at whether or not the Broncos should take a look at Paul Richardson or Josh Norman during the free agency period and what types of fits they could pose for this Broncos team offensively and defensively. And we also analyze whether or not the Broncos should trade for Stephon Diggs out of the Minnesota Vikings. He apparently wants out. We're going to talk about it, what it means overall for the Broncos, what it means for Stephon Diggs, and how Diggs could really bring another element to this Broncos team, as well as some familiarity there, all on today's jam-packed episode of the show. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, really want to say thank you so much for all the great feedback of our AFC West Ultimate Division crossover that we had last week here on the Locked On Broncos podcast. Please tweet me at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos, what you thought of the crossovers. Got some great feedback, but want to get more so we could share it with our network producers if you guys really loved it, because we got a lot of cool things in store for you guys going forward in the future. And I also want you guys to add me to your community. You can join hundreds of Broncos fans that are already texting me by adding yourself to my contacts by texting me at 303-529-6323. And it's been really fun. I mean, there's a lot of Broncos fans I've been talking with, answering a lot of questions. It gives me the opportunity to interact with you guys on a more personalized level. Plus, anytime there's any Broncos news that I get, I'm going to pump it out to you guys on the text thread first before posting it on the social media sphere, so that way you stay in the loop of what's going on with the Broncos. Plus, if you guys want to talk football, life, or whatever else with me, you guys have the opportunity to do that by texting me, 303-529-6323. I look forward to interacting with you guys a lot more there. But let's get into the action of today's episode of Locked On Broncos. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a look here at the NFL Scouting Combine. It's coming up here February 23rd through March 2nd. NFL general managers, head coaches, some teams are bringing all their assistant coaches to the Combine to take a look at potential prospects for them in this year's upcoming NFL draft in mid-April. And the Broncos are going to be doing something a little differently than the status quo. And the LA Rams have copied suit, and a lot of familiarity there from Brandon Staley, now the defensive coordinator for the LA Rams, copying a little bit of what Vic Fangio has decided to do. And Vic is going to be leaving all of the assistant coaches at home. He's not going to be taking any of the assistant coaches with him. I'm not sure if this means that he's going to be leaving the coordinators out. I don't know if the coordinator is going to go. I imagine that the offense coordinator, Pat Shermer, I think defense coordinator Ed Donatell, I believe both are going to be staying in Denver, both those guys there alongside the position coaches more than likely, and taking a look at it too. It's actually a smart idea, and the reason I say that is when you take a look at bringing your staff to a big event where there's a lot of agents, there's a lot of media, there's a lot of people. I'm a big believer in the philosophy of loose lips sink ships, and this is a great way for the Broncos maybe to go under the radar about what their plans are for the NFL draft. And usually what we mean by that is sometimes when you're striking up a conversation with somebody in the media and you're maybe giving a little bit of an insight as to who you're looking at or what you're looking for, you can sort of connect the pieces a little bit and it could create some issues. And I remember there was something on NFL Network last year where Vic Fangio was shown on the screen and somebody in the studio was talking about the fact that the Broncos may be looking at Noah Fant, and he just looked at it because he obviously is seeing it on the TV itself, and he kind of whispered, mumbled a few lip reads. He's like, who the F said that, which was a very funny thing. Both, I mean, it ended up panning out for the Broncos going with Noah Fant, pick 19, when they traded back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, I think that this is a good move. It gives Vic Fangio and the Broncos front office, the scouting department, to be able to go up to Indianapolis at the combine and not have to worry about maybe giving a little bit of too much information out to the media or everybody else, which I respect the move. I appreciate it. And as I always say, when you want to avoid the potential of information leaking out, you definitely got to maybe watch how many people you bring, especially, you know, if you go out in the evening, you know, have a little drinks, or you go to dinner, you go to lunch with people, you know, sometimes things could get out. But I think this is a good move for the Broncos because, look, the position coaches, they can watch the combine, they can watch the workouts, they can watch the 40-yard dash, the drills and everything like that from home, like the rest of us that don't get to go to the NFL combine or that aren't going. They can watch it, they can grade, and they can probably plug some things in a lot quicker and a lot easier than it would be if they were there in person, because of the fact that they are provided with information by analysts live as everything happens. And I think for the Broncos coaches, for Pat Shurmur too, really focusing on getting all the details of this offense oriented and plugged in. It's not going to be just something where he just comes in and has everything ready. It takes some installation. He's obviously taking a look at film and seeing what his players can formulate for his offensive scheme. These are the things that kind of add up there, and it gives them an opportunity to look at prospects and maybe plug them in based on how they perform numbers wise and being able to utilize them and plug them into their player profile series that they do in order for them to make an accurate grade on the NFL draft when it comes up in April, and maybe how they'd be a good fit for the team. So the assistant coaches, they're going to be busy. They're going to be doing a lot of film, but Vic Fangio going solo, going with Broncos front office brass and management. And for them, it's going to pose them the best opportunity to not leak some information out to the rest of the media world. And while they're going to be taking a look at some NFL draft prospects, we're going to take a look at some NFL free agency prospects, because there are certain things that happened on Friday that pose a little bit of an idea for maybe the Broncos to take a look at in terms of wide receiver, in terms of cornerback, two positions where they are going to be taking a strong look at this offseason through free agency and the NFL draft. We're going to talk about that coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode of the show. That's our good friends over there at Blue Chew. And you can increase your performance in the bedroom and get that extra confidence that you've been missing by going to BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. They bring you the first chewable tablet with the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, whether it's day or night. You can even take it on a full stomach. And because they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises for you or your partner today. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants a little bit of extra confidence in the bedroom today. And Blue Chew's prescribed online. It ships straight to your door in a discreet little package. So there's no more in-person doctor's visit. There's no more waiting in the pharmacy. And the best part of it all, there is no more awkwardness, gentlemen. And that is something I think that we all take pride on, is not having to put ourselves in awkward situations. And they're made in the USA. And because Blue Chew prepares and ships directly to you, that makes them much cheaper than what you would have to pay at a pharmacy. So right now, listeners of Lockdown Broncos, we have a very special offer for you. You can visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment absolutely free when you use our special promo code Locked On. All you're going to do is pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it free today. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we'd like to thank them for sponsoring today's episode of Locked On Broncos. Now, taking a look at a couple of prospects that the Broncos maybe could take a look at. I mean, it certainly garners some interest in investigating, but will the Broncos actually do that? I'm not quite sure, but we're going to ponder the thought here. On Friday, the Washington Redskins, they had released wide receiver Paul Richardson, and they also released cornerback Josh Norman, who Broncos fans know from Super Bowl 50. He was a thorn in the side of the Broncos, very talented player. He, you know, he does talk a lot. He jaws a lot. He was really good when he was with Carolina. When he went to the Washington Redskins, he really struggled. But the question we got to ask when it comes to Paul Richardson and when it comes to Josh Norman, would they be a fit in Denver? And real quick, my man Corey Marte via text message texted me at 303-529-6323, and he asked me about Josh Norman and the potential fit for the Denver Broncos. He asked the question, do you think Josh Norman is a good fit for the Broncos? And if so, is it a possibility that they will pursue him? He could be a cheaper pickup this late in his career. And, you know, I think here, Corey, thank you for obviously texting me first, 303-529-6323. You guys can ask me any kind of Broncos questions. I'll answer them here on the show. But to answer your question, Corey, I think the Broncos would really have to take a strong look at Josh Norman. Would he be a good fit for the Denver Broncos? In my opinion, just based on going off film, I got to ask the question, is he a better zone cover corner or is he better man cover corner? When I go back and I look at Carolina, and I went back and watched some film this weekend on the Carolina Panthers back in 2015, they had a defense that could get to the quarterback. They had really good inside linebackers, and he was one of their stronger parts in that secondary. So other teams would target the opposite corner, and Josh Norman, I mean, would bait quarterbacks into underthrowing a pass, and he would jump it and intercept it. But I think that Josh Norman, at this point of his career, I think he is a better zone cover corner. And I think that the one thing that stands out to me on film against Washington, you know, when he was in Washington as a Redskin, was the fact that when he was in man coverage situations, he'd get burnt a lot. He'd be inside leverage or he'd be head up leverage, and he just would not be able to keep up with the fast wide receivers, which, look, the Broncos, they're going to have to find a formula for slowing down fast wide receivers. You have Tyreek Hill in the division. You could possibly add more if the Raiders decide to go with a wide receiver like CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs before the Broncos are able to pick at pick number 15. I think that Josh Norman maybe could be a fit. How good of a fit would he be with the Broncos? I don't know if he'd be a good fit. I like to entertain the idea, though, that he is a zone cover corner. I think he's better as a zone cover guy, and the Broncos predominantly run a zone cover scheme. They do like to mix and match some zone and man at the same exact time. It just depends on the strength. It depends on the formation and the offensive set that's come out on the field. If you have trips to one side, they may play man coverage on number one and play zone against number two and number three, or they may play zone to the trip side or play man coverage on the backside, which is usually the rule of football. It's football 101. Anytime you got a single wide receiver on any side of the field, you got to play him as man. You're on an island. I just don't know if Josh Norman could fill that void that the Broncos are going to be missing, especially if Chris Harris Jr. decides to leave during the free agency period. That is my biggest concern. I don't think you can replace a guy like Chris Harris Jr. unless you were to go after a guy like Byron Jones, who is rumored that the Broncos are going to be aggressively targeting him. He's probably one of their top targets in free agency if, in fact, Chris Harris Jr. does leave, which, as I'm saying it right now, based on people I've spoken to, Chris Harris is going to command some money from some contending teams, and the Broncos have a very strong chance of losing him. Now, I know that there is part of Chris Harris that wants to stay in Denver. He just had another baby, but the biggest thing for him, he wants to win, and he also wants to be paid as one of the top corners in the National Football League. And will the Denver Broncos be willing to do that? Right now, I'm not so certain that they're willing to make him one of the highest paid corners in the league, or the highest paid corner in the league. And I would hope that they would, but at the same time, it's not looking that way for the offseason, and a lot of things that have been floated out there. I know a lot of people have been worried about Chris Harris Jr. Retweeting a video of him say of the NFL Network saying that he could possibly be linked to the Kansas City Chiefs. That's just him driving up his stock for NFL free agency. So Broncos fans, I wouldn't worry too much about that, but could I see Chris Harris Jr. going to a division rival? Absolutely. I could definitely see that, especially Kansas City, because one, they're a contender, and two, they need a cornerback. They need a cornerback one. Now, are they willing to pay him his type of money, considering the fact that Patrick Mahomes extension, Chris Jones, so on and so forth? That is a lot to ask, but that's on another subject. But yes, it'd definitely be hard for Josh Norman to come in and replace what Chris Harris Jr. has done, and I don't see that being something that the Broncos do. I don't know if they take a strong look at him. They could maybe look at him, but not a strong look to say, hey, okay, we're going to bring this guy in for a tryout. He's going to obviously have to do his physical, and we may be willing to sign him. I don't think that Josh Norman to Denver is going to happen, but then again, it's right now, it's February 17th, and free agency is literally a month away, and there's a lot that can happen between now and then. I also do think it's worth noting that Josh Norman has expressed that back in the past he did want the Denver Broncos to draft him years ago, but let's take a look at Paul Richardson and whether or not the Broncos should maybe entertain the idea of looking at him. Now, the Broncos theme for the offseason, we've been talking about it, you need a speed guy. Is Paul Richardson a speed guy? No, not necessarily. I mean, he's fast. He runs a 4.4, but in terms of the burner speed, I think we're all talking about is that 4.2, 4.3, 40-yard dash type stuff. And I get it, in the football field, you don't always get that unless you're running vertical. Will Paul Richardson provide that value to the Broncos? I'm not quite sure. You know, when I take a look back at his career in Washington, it was very average. He did have that one really good year in Seattle where they utilized him a lot. I believe he had 700 total yards receiving in one season. I believe it was back in 2016 or 2017, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, some Colorado ties there for him. But to me, just being tied to Colorado is not enough, in my opinion, to jump on the idea of bringing him in to be a wide receiver in this Broncos unit. Now, maybe he could be a guy that could role play, but then again, like, why do you want to go there when you got guys like Deshaun Hamilton, who's starting to find a little bit of confidence? I found it towards the end of the 2019 season, and I don't know if you bring in Richardson, what value it really bring to to the Broncos, because you look at him in 2019 with the Redskins, and granted, I have to factor in the fact that they did have Case Keenum for a little bit as the quarterback. They did have Dwayne Haskins, who struggled a little bit as a rookie. They were going through this up and down little carousel of quarterbacks due to injuries and drama and so on and so forth. I get it, but he only had 28 catches in 2019. He only had 245 yards and two touchdowns. I don't believe that is enough, in my opinion, for the Broncos to garner some interest in there when they also have some guys like Fred Brown, some young developmental pieces that Coach Azani's already been working for. I mean, I totally get it. Everybody looks at the Colorado connection, says, hey, he's a Colorado guy. Bring him in. See what he can do in this Broncos offense. But I think the Broncos should maybe have their eye on a different wide receiver prospect. And this is a guy I think that could take the Broncos' productivity on the offensive side of the ball from a receiver position to the very next level. And he happens to play right now in Minnesota. And we're going to actually entertain that idea on whether or not the Broncos should try to trade for Stephon Diggs in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you guys to check out the Locked On Nuggets podcast. It's the All-Star break. Nikola Jokic played in the All-Star game last night, and he was part of Team LeBron, and he seemed to garner a lot of interest from a lot of people. The media gave him a lot of attention, and listen to Adam Mattes and Harrison Wind on Nikola Jokic rise to stardom during the All-Star weekend. Everybody's been talking about him, and you can only catch that action on the Locked On Nuggets podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I went on KOA Broncos Country tonight with Benjamin Albright, Anthony Rodriguez, Ryan Edwards on Valentine's Day on Friday. And Ben, Anthony, Ryan, and myself, we talked about Stephon Diggs because that was a big topic of discussion on Friday alongside with Paul Richardson, Josh Norman being released by Washington. There has been some reports that the Broncos have a little bit of interest, and whether or not they act on that interest should be something that we should all discuss. Now, their sources say that Stephon Diggs has expressed internally that he would like to be traded from Minnesota. There were rumblings throughout the NFL regular season about his frustration of what's been going on. He sent out some cryptic subtweets on his Twitter account. There's been some concerning things there about his unhappiness in Minnesota, and nobody really knows what it is. Is it due to the offensive not, you know, really getting him involved as much? Has it something to do with Kirk Cousins? I don't know. I mean, these are all things that we could sit here and then we could speculate on, but at the end of the day, let's talk about the reality of the situation. Stephon Diggs, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that he would be a valuable asset to this Denver Broncos team. I believe that Diggs could come in right away and make an instant impact. And one thing I do want to talk about in terms of his impact is the fact that I think he'd be great for the Broncos on third down. He'd be a great option opposite of Cortland Sutton. You can line him up next to Cortland Sutton if you want to go twins or trips. He provides that same level of versatility and maybe a little bit better, in my opinion, than what Emmanuel Sanders did for the Denver Broncos. And I think a lot of that is obviously with him being 26 years of age. I want to read a text message here from Jesse Taylor, 303-529-6322. He texted me at that number, and he asked me the question, is Diggs someone Denver could target? Very much so. The Broncos could target Stephon Diggs, and the biggest reason for that, obviously because they are looking at wide receiver, and I think it all makes sense when you look at the tea tree leaves around Dove Valley is the fact that Pat Shurmur, now the offensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos, has a lot of familiarity when it comes to Stephon Diggs, and Diggs didn't have the greatest numbers in 2017 when they were, you know, this team that went to the NFC Championship. Case Keenum was playing like an MVP type guy. They're spreading the ball out a lot. Thielen was getting involved. But Diggs still contributed in a major way. And obviously the Minneapolis Miracle, we all know that was the benefactor of that kind of reception there. But I think that obviously that tie there, that familiarity, previous interactions before with Pat Shurmur would be something that I think would be positive for the Broncos, especially for Drew Lock having another wide receiver weapon to throw to besides Cortland Sutton, the emergence of Deshaun Hamilton and guys like that. I mean, we've talked about that in depth, in length here on Lockdown Broncos, but I think he'd be great on the outside. He'd be great on the inside. But the cons would be for looking at Stephon Diggs. How much of a contract would Denver have to take on? And right now, I'm not quite sure of what the number would actually be, but if you take a look at SpotTrack, and it says pre-June 1st trade. If he were traded anywhere between now between June and before June 1st, the Minnesota Vikings would incur a dead cap hit of $9 million. Was that something that they might be willing to part with? I'm not quite sure. I don't know if they want to do that. I think there would obviously have to be some moving pieces involved, but obviously, if one of your star players is unhappy and it has nothing to do with his contract, it has something to do with being in Minnesota, then I think that the team has no choice but to investigate and look at potentially trading him. Now, we talk about the Broncos going with this youth movement. Stephon Diggs, he's 26 years old. That doesn't interfere with the Denver youth movement. Now, talking with Benjamin Albright, one of the things that we had discussed was, you know, we saw in the offseason, we saw in training camp, Cortland Sutton, a young guy who's risen up. He's taking on that leadership role. He's the alpha dog in that Broncos wide receiver room with Coach Azani. The question was asked whether or not that maybe Sutton and his mentality where he's at, if you add Diggs into the mix, would those guys butt heads because of the fact that Sutton is now acting and as the alpha dog, and Stephon Diggs has more NFL experience right now than Cortland Sutton. What would that look like for these two guys being in that locker room? And I think that it's something that could present itself, but I don't believe that it will, because here's the deal. I think the common denominator in terms of that wide receiver room being in tip-top shape and having leaders and dogs in that room, I think is all linked back to wide receiver coach Azani, and he's done a phenomenal job with those guys in that leadership, at, in terms of leadership in that wide receiver room. And I think the biggest reason for that is because he did when he first came in as the Broncos wide receiver coach. I mean, him and Emmanuel Sanders, they butted heads, and a lot of it was because Coach Azani was coming and saying, hey, you know, we want to do things this way. Emmanuel Sanders, who's been in the league a long time, says, hey, I've been doing this a long time. I've been in the league. Why do I got to change the way I do things up? But ultimately, I think at the end of the day, Coach Azani was able to get through with Emmanuel Sanders, and I think that's the only thing that matters is Coach Azani can work with these wide receivers, can work with personalities. He's done it. But I think in that locker room, talking with some of these Broncos wideouts, they love Coach Azani. They love what he's done. They really respect and admire what Cortland Sutton has done as well, taking that leadership role, going from his rookie season all the way to year number two, and now he's entering year number three coming off of a Pro Bowl bid and a 1,000-yard season and 73 receptions on the year, looking for that 100-reception-type season coming up for him. It is supposed to be a big year for Cortland Sutton, but the Broncos can't do it just alone by Sutton, even though he was the guy. He was the one and only guy last season for the Broncos between three quarterbacks, Joe Flacco, Brandon Allen, Andrew Locke, that had production. And the next closest receiver in production was Noah Fant, and he wasn't anywhere close to where Cortland Sutton was. So the Broncos might have to spread that football out a little bit more, and you have to have some weapons to take that pressure off of you. Now, I've said it here, and I'll say it again. The Broncos have been on the receiving end of defensive coordinators on third down or second and long situations where they'll play a cornerback in press coverage, or they'll play him up inside leverage 5 yards off the ball with a safety over the top, and they would play either inside leverage, outside leverage, depending on if it was a cover two or a cover four, with a safety up over the top, and they would try to bracket cover Cortland Sutton. And I think that you're going to see a lot of that if you don't add any wide receivers to the mix. And if Stephon Diggs, here's where I think the appeal for him and the Broncos should maybe trade for him, why it makes so much sense is because obviously I think you line him up in the slot, or you line him up on the opposite side of the field of Cortland Sutton. Let's say it's third and one and you get him lined up. Stephon Diggs is a great route runner. He's elusive. He's the type of guy that can run a one-step slant, or he can extend vertically up the field for about 5 yards, go across the field on a dig route. He knows where to find the soft spots against zone coverage. He knows how to beat man coverage, and the Broncos need more guys that can do that. And Stephon Diggs is the ultimate type of playmaker that could do that for the Denver Broncos, and for any NFL team for that matter. Minnesota, we saw they didn't really get him involved as much, I think, that Diggs would like in 2019. There were times where there was some evident frustration. Now, he had a couple of big plays against the Denver Broncos, rightfully so. I mean, it was one of those fitting things there. We saw it. But I think overall, Diggs would be a great addition to this Broncos team because he helps out with Drew Locke. He gives Locke another weapon to throw to. He helps out with Cortland Sutton because if defenses focus so much attention on Cortland Sutton, well, look, it leaves guys like Stephon Diggs open. And we all know, if you've watched any NFL games, you cannot leave Stephon Diggs in just one-on-one coverage because it's not going to help. So it forces the defense to reveal their hand a little bit, unless they go with a too high safety shell, which against Cortland Sutton and Stephon Diggs, I would roll with too high safeties all day long, and I would try to figure out how to keep everything in front of me, not allow any big plays on the outside vertically, but that would be very difficult. You're asking a lot from your defense against two very talented wide receivers and an offensive system with Pat Shurmur, which is going to take some more shots downfield than what the Broncos did in 2019. Are they going to take as much shots downfield as some of the other teams in the National Football League, like Kansas City or San Francisco? No, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be a team that goes deep five or six times a game. I think they're going to go maybe 3 to 4 times a game downfield deep, and I think that's what the Broncos need. And Diggs gives you a guy that can catch a 10-yard pass, and he can go 40 yards. He can get yards after the catch. He's super talented. The Broncos need that youth movement continuously. And here's the deal. If the Broncos were to pursue a trade with a guy like Stephon Stephon Diggs. In the NFL draft, they could still choose a guy like Henry Ruggs or a Jerry Jeudy or a CeeDee Lamb or a Jalen Reagor or Brandon Ayuk out of Arizona State. I mean, they could do all these options still because the Broncos will utilize a lot of wide receivers. We're probably going to have a lot of wide receivers in that wide receiver room once again, and it's going to be fun to watch and cover at training camp. But these are things I think that the Broncos should do. I think they should pursue a trade for Stephon Diggs. Will they do it? Not quite sure. I know that there is some interest from the Broncos in Diggs, and they're going to inquire about it, but will they make any effort to put some stock into that? I don't know at this point in time. It's a little early. We could see something happen sometime after the NFL free agency period, somewhere maybe March or the beginning of April. We could see some type of movement when it comes to Stephon Diggs, or the Minnesota Vikings organization could come out straight up and say, look, we're not trading him. We're going to find a way to work out whatever issues Stephon Diggs and the Minnesota Vikings franchise have with one another, and we plan to keep him as a Minnesota Viking because he still has a few years left on his deal. And I think for the Broncos, you know, do you want to take on that? How much would you have to take on of his contract? And obviously we mentioned that the 2020 dead cap hit for the Minnesota Vikings before June 1st would be around $9 million for them. I don't know if they'd want to take that on. So a lot to look at whether or not. And in Broncos country, I want your feedback as well. Should the Broncos make a trade for Stephon Diggs, or should they at least inquire about it? That's the question of the day. And ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow's episode of Lockdown Broncos, it's going to be a text message Tuesday. I want you guys to text me. Yes, you can interact with me one-on-one, but I want you to send me your questions to 303-529-6323. Get in on all the action and join the hundreds of Broncos fans that have already began texting me. Had some great conversations with a lot of people, and I'm very excited to continue that. I think it's a really cool avenue for me to pursue with you guys. A lot of great feedback from Broncos fans there. I also want to give a major shout out to my man Gilbert Garcia, who's one of our newest listeners, just found the Lockdown Broncos podcast all the way in Pueblo. I appreciate you, man, for tuning in. He's a Broncos super fan, and send your questions in 303-529-6323. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Cody Work, host of Lockdown Broncos, and we will see you tomorrow for Text Message Tuesday.